The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Atone for our sins for your name's sake. Why should the nation say, "Where is their God?"
The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." This is the word of the Lord. The Gospel according to St. Luke, the sixth chapter. Jesus said, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." He also told them a parable. "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be on you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. You may be seated. So Jesus today in our gospel reading addresses our hearts. And during this Trinity season, we see a lot of the gospel readings are very instructive as we grow in the Christian life. You notice that hymn of the day is from the sanctification section. It could fit in numerous places, but as we grow in that new life we have in Christ. And so Jesus instructs us as Christians that our hearts are to be ones of mercy, and our judgments are to be from a humble heart. Now, he doesn't tell us to ignore sin. We're to repent of our own and in a spirit of mercy and humility, address the sin of our neighbors. But the first part of this gospel reading sets the tone, and it sets the outlook and the focus of what Jesus is getting at. Here again, Jesus said, "Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." So from the beginning of this reading, Jesus makes something clear. Judgment happens. The word mercy, even when he tells us to be merciful, that has implies that judgment has been passed and that mercy happens upon another. And he explains this in relation to the Father. The reality is that the Father judges you. God judges you. And his judgment isn't hidden. It's revealed in the Holy Scriptures. The law of God reveals God's judgment, and he delivers the same. And so he lays out before you what is his will, what is good, what is right, what is godly, and you see what is commanded of you. And confronted in our sin, we're exposed before him. God shows that you have sinned against him. That's judgment. And then he teaches you in many places that the punishment that is due this transgression is death. So yes, most assuredly, God judges you. But this concept of judgment in our lives is not foreign. God has ordered his creation in such a way, which includes you, which occupies offices that render judgment. Now, the foundational office by which God has established and knit into the very fabric of creation is the parental office. And all other authorities stem from that and from the fourth commandment. So earthly fathers, for example, they judge. God has given this work with this office. So think about that for a second. If your fathers, grandfathers, or you know, as you are around people who are, if fathers don't judge, they're terrible fathers. Fathers judge their children. God commands them to bring them up in the fear and instruction of the Lord, and he teaches that the father is to teach the children the things of God. He teaches them the rules of the house. He judges when the rules have been violated and disciplines his children. And he also protects his family as he leads and governs. He makes judgments in all these things. The same is said for mothers and other offices in the home. And it goes for government and other authorities. So there are times when you must judge one another according to your vocation. And failing to do so in that vocation would be sinning against God. Think also about a judge in a courtroom. If he refuses to judge a person in a court case, for example, he sins, as he has been placed into that office as an instrument of God for the protection of good and punishment of evil. But even in these cases, mercy and humility are to be what flows as you see the redemption in Christ. So when a judge renders judgment, order is upheld, law is maintained. Innocent people are protected when criminals are judged. This is merciful towards the world around them. Or even in the workplace, a boss who must fire the terrible worker does so in mercy because people will suffer in some way if that worker continues the job. The discipline of a father or authority is the same thing, as he is to do so not in revenge, but for the sake of his neighbor. Now, these things are good. They're for the good of others, and God has ordered and established creation to work in this way. All these things are well and good, and what God teaches throughout the whole of the scriptures. Now, the question and application in the reading today for our gospel reading, which addresses a particular aspect of this, gets to the heart of the Christian and what God teaches about it for our individual lives as we live with one another. So what God calls us to do as Christians is to show mercy. It's to forgive those who sin against us and love our neighbors as ourselves. And this is what the Lord has shown toward us when we see what his judgment is toward our sin, yet he has sent his son to pay what we owe, to suffer what we deserve. The mercy of God is shown towards you and known in Christ crucified for you. So really then this particular reading from Luke, this context, what Jesus is talking about is forgiveness. This is mercy which you show to others. So rather than condemn them, you forgive them. Jesus said, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And so often then God speaks of the abundance and overflowing nature of his mercy. And why is that? Well, it's because God is merciful towards you. And his mercy towards you overflows and into your life toward others. And there's more than enough mercy to show, to go around and to show to one another. It never runs out. His steadfast love, his mercy, they endure forever. And this is related to the Old Testament reading where Joseph forgives his brothers who are fearful. He will seek vengeance against them. He said, do not fear, for I am in the place of God. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So here Joseph forgave his brothers. He didn't seek vengeance. And that's what God teaches you. But it's so counterintuitive to our old sinful man. Our old sinful man operates under what's called the opinio legis, the opinion of the law. He likes to render judgment. And it's so contrary to what you're taught in the world around you when you look around and see how people treat one another. But you know what you don't see in the world around you and what doesn't come naturally as a fallen creature? Forgiveness. You need forgiveness to be shown to you. You need to be forgiven and not treated as you deserve to be treated. You need to be shown compassion. And who has done this to you? Who has done this for you? Who's the one who treats you in this way? Christ has. He still does. And his mercy overflows and your sin is forgiven. And thanks be to God, this is what your Lord has done for you and how he regards you as he counts Christ and his righteousness to you in the waters of your baptism. So God is the source of your forgiveness then to your neighbor. You don't merit his forgiveness. Rather, he forgives you and you forgive one another. We love because he first loved us, God teaches you in 1 John 4. So Jesus is your teacher and you aren't above him. No disciple is above his teacher. He teaches you to be merciful, so be merciful. And yes, Jesus also teaches you how to approach your neighbor as one who is forgiven and to be merciful as your Father is merciful. St. Luke recorded this in the gospel reading. Jesus also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck in your brother's eye. And so God instructs you as you go through this life, as he calls you into various vocations in your family, the church, and society. Those are the three estates you occupy. You're called to examine who you are and what duties go with your office and station. See what God teaches you about being a father, a mother, a husband, a wife, a worker. See where God has placed you, and you live in this world with your neighbor and in relation to him. And you speak. You speak in the office God has placed you into, and you speak the truth. Sometimes this means you must speak ill of your neighbor, but you do so as God has appointed and according to what he, God, has revealed is good and right. You sin when you speak out of your place. That is when you place yourself into the seat of judgment when it has not been given for you to do so. So God commands you to uphold and protect the reputation of your neighbor, and you go out of your way and even suffer if it means that your neighbor's reputation is maintained. You are not to speak ill of your neighbor. And if you must speak, you speak to him as God has appointed and according to God's law and God's commands, not just what you may think is right or wrong. Man-made commandments and laws and human opinions and speculation are not the righteousness of God. The Formula of Concord speaks a great deal about this in the article on the third use of the law, Article 6. God's law is for people, even after they have been converted in the Christian faith, because sinful man tries to come up with his own standards. He tries to come up with his own ideas of what good works are and aren't, what is right, what is righteous, and what man is free or not free to do. So to claim something is wrong where God has not made that statement is to judge and to make a judgment that belongs only to God. Likewise, the Large Catechism rightly confesses from the Bible that to exercise an office of judgment when that office has not been given to you to do so also judges where God has not given you to judge. This is an issue of breaking the eighth commandment. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. The hymn of the day we sang a few minutes ago summarizes this all well. I encourage you to go through that again and look through it and see that line of thought, how it talks about that. It also talks about having good friends and dying a Christian death and the hope that we have. So what's the answer? Well, listen to God. Follow his word. Follow his judgments. Follow his commands. Look at your life and examine yourself. Remove the log from your own eye and seek to live a godly life in this world. So how is this done? Confess your sin. Receive God's absolution, his forgiveness. That's the center of your life in Christ and the highest worship of God, to receive his forgiveness, to be where you are right now, receiving forgiveness, life, and salvation through God's appointed means. Hearing God's word, confessing your sin, and eating and drinking the body and blood of Christ is your life in Christ, where your sin is forgiven, and where there is the forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. And this is how you find your confidence to stand before God's judgment seat, as one who is baptized into Christ, one who rightly seeks to be merciful even as your Father is merciful. And then you speak to your neighbor, one-on-one, when he has sinned against you, and you take another with you if that first attempt is fruitless. Finally, if there is no change, then you take it to the church and the office appointed to deal with the sin in a public way. Sometimes this means being separated from the body of Christ, as in the case of the church. But all the while, the purpose is winning back your brother, and he turned from his sin and he live. And it is truly sad that the gospel is abused today. But it shouldn't surprise us one bit. The old sinful man likes to hear those words of be merciful even as your Father is merciful as an excuse to then sin boldly against the Lord. But what God does and what God says is good. Forgiveness does not approve of sin. Approving of sin and looking the other way is to hate your neighbor and not care whether he goes to hell. Sin always harms. Sin always destroys. Sin always leads to death. It's not your out to avoid controversy and not be a Christian parent, a Christian friend, and a Christian neighbor when you hear this gospel reading today. Yet in your rebuking of sin as a Christian, which you must do when it is your place and office to do so, the Lord warns you as he does in the gospel reading. Consider the log in your own eye before you can see clearly to take out the speck in your brother's eye. In our lives lived in this world, our appeal in all of this is because justice has been done against sin. Christ is our mercy seat. His death took upon our sin, and it is where we see that God is just and doesn't overlook sin, and we see that God is no liar, and we owe a debt to God because of our sin. But Christ is our mediator, our intercessor, the one whose blood appeals to the Father on our behalf, and thereby we have peace with God through him who is our righteousness. And so we consider what our Lord says. We take it to heart. We look at ourselves. We see that logger, literally here in Greek, the load-bearing beam is sticking out of our eye. Does our brother still have the speck in his? Yes, he does, and we don't ignore that fact. But the spirit by which we approach our brother is first knowing who we are before God and our sin, and then approach our brother in the same humility and for the sake of showing him mercy. And that's the vastly different spirit of the Christian. Then it doesn't seek vengeance. It doesn't seek to hold a brother's sin against him, however heinous it may be. And it's also not ours to figure this all out, how to deal with one another. Rather, we listen to our teacher, Jesus, and what he says. The blind only lead the blind into a pit. Being in the Word of God means hearing it, studying it, taking it to heart. And we see how God, by the Holy Spirit, opens our eyes to see him, to see his mercy and the mercy we show to one another. Otherwise, we're left as sinners, dealing with other sinners, and prepared to fall into the pit together. And there are times in our lives when this will be hard, when we may think we're unable to forgive our neighbor. When someone has sinned against us, the wounds run deep. But woe upon us when we are unwilling to forgive our neighbor's sin. This is where these words of Jesus today hit us between the eyes and teach us what it means to be one who belongs to Christ. We pray in the Lord's Prayer as our Lord has taught us, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So if we have something we are holding against another person and refusing to forgive him or her, each time we pray the Lord's Prayer, that's an indictment against us, that we're mocking God and lying to him. So repent and show mercy. And so in those times when you do struggle with the temptation to not show mercy, appeal to Jesus. Appeal to the Lord who has died for all. Fix your eyes on the Lord and desire the godly and merciful heart. The person who has sinned against you, however or whoever that may be, is a person Jesus died for on the cross. See Christ's death for what it truly is, the sacrifice for the sin of the world. The person or people who sinned against you, Jesus died for, and Jesus instructs you in this reading today. What he's talking about in the context of this reading today is to be merciful and not condemn them. That never once means you condone or tolerate what the person has done or that you don't call them to repentance. You have a Christian duty to do that according to your office as parent, spouse, friend, or neighbor. God teaches you that as a baptized child of God. You show your neighbor mercy, even as you have been shown mercy in Christ. And remember that his mercy overflows in Christ crucified. So what a joy it is to have a God who has shown mercy, a God who has pardoned your iniquity for the sake of Jesus. So hear these words, repent of your sin, and place it on the one who has died in your place. And so too, forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against you. Hear and take to heart these words today and receive God's mercy poured out even as you have Christ and his benefits in your baptism, and as you take into your mouths his very body and blood which was shed for you on the cross and is raised for your justification. Your God is merciful. He's merciful towards you and judges you on account of the Son and his perfect life, his perfect obedience to the Father, and his atoning death for your sin. Your advocate is Jesus and continues to be so at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you. So go through this world in this overflowing mercy as one redeemed by Christ until that day when you are taken to him and raised from your grave and live before him in eternal joy and peace and a glory beyond all compare with all of God's saints and with your Lord forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.